We're all super familiar with the Christmas story, and particularly this gospel passage, which in its essence captures, you know, the wonder and the mystery of all that unfolded on that first night. In some ways, it feels like an ordinary sort of story. You know, something that you might see on the front page of a newspaper. You know, it begins with all of the important and significant people. Caesar Augustus issued this decree, and it happened while Quirinius was the governor. So you're like, oh yeah, I know what this kind of story is. It's about all of the significant people, all of the important people. That's what this is going to be all about. And yet, quickly the story begins to unravel, because it's not about the really important, the famous people of the day. It's about two nobodies, Joseph and Mary. No one had heard of them. No one really knew anything about them. They came from this backwater area of Galilee, up in Nazareth. And as we read in the Gospel of John, when Nicodemus hears about this possibility of someone coming from Nazareth, like, could anything good come out of Nazareth? It's like, could anything good come out of Bega? I mean, my goodness, people who come from the country, like, well, you know, nothing could possibly arise that's good out of that. And yet, what is happening here is this great reversal. And the Gospel of Luke loves this whole sense of the reversal that happens. Above all, when you read through the Gospel of Luke, we get this sense of the people who are nobodies and nothing. He has a special care for those who are poor, for those who have nothing at all, who can't cling to anything that other people in the world might be able to point to and say, yes, you know, it's my wealth, it's my power, it's my influence. They're the things that carry me. They're the things that allow me to be something significant. But it's to the people who have none of that, who don't have any sense of something that they can stake a claim by. And they're forced into this sense that all I have is simply my identity in God. It's the only thing that Joseph and Mary had. Their ability to see through all of the social stigma of the situation that they were faced with, of Mary conceiving out of wedlock. This call, this claim that she was a virgin. And so all of that, you know, that Joseph and Mary had to kind of struggle with and make sense of. And then they finally, after this long and arduous journey down to near the capital city, near to Jerusalem, the city that David had established, and to Bethlehem, the place where David had come from. And so that was the place where they had to go to be registered. I mean, it doesn't make any kind of sense as to why they would have to go this great journey. I mean, censuses are never things that the common people benefit from. I mean, the only reason that people call a census is to see, is there people that are escaping from the taxation system? Can we increase the taxation revenue, or can we increase the size of our army? That's the only reason that leaders and rulers ever make a census about, you know, maybe the Australian government has slightly better motivations for doing such a thing. But certainly in the ancient world, that was what a census was about. You know, nobody benefited from it apart from the Caesar back there in Rome. And so they come to this city, come to this town, and they're looking for accommodation. Of course, we've increased the scope of what's happened here, because all we're told by it is they go to the inn, the hostel that would have been set up in most of significant towns to provide a place of lodging for travellers. It's full, and so they have to go somewhere where there's a manger. We're not told that it's a stable. We're just told that there was a place where there happened to be a feeding trough for animals. And if you've travelled through the Middle East, or you've travelled through older parts of Europe, you'll know that often, you know, the ground floor of a house would have been a place where the animals would stay, and you would have the warmth of the animals that would kind of help to heat the rest of the house. And so it's not necessarily a place, you know, out in the distance or away from the town, but simply just the first level of a building that they of the more substantial in a place where the animals would also be kept. Maybe there were no animals there at the time, but that's where the Mary and Joseph go, and she gives birth and is able then to to wrap the child. I'm not sure why that is even a significant thing, that the child is bound up tightly in cloth. I'm pretty sure most mothers would bind their children in cloth to make sure they didn't wobble around and didn't make too much movement. And so we're told that the child is placed then in a manger. In some ways, Luke is focusing on that. He tells us twice about that little detail, that little piece of information. Because again, this Caesar Augustus, this Quirinius, all they're about is taking. All they're about is what we can offer to them. But Jesus comes in a different way. He comes not to take, not to lay claim to us, but he comes to give. He comes to feed us. He comes to nourish us. He comes to provide the deepest desires and longings of our lives and our hearts. So it's most appropriate that he's laid in a feeding trough, because he comes to be our food. He comes to offer himself to us. He comes to serve us and to give us that life that we can't find in any other way or in any other situation. Today, we are able to experience this fullness of God, this fullness of life, because of what he has done. He's broken through all of the bounds of normal human society, all of the structures and systems that esteem the famous and the rich, and has allowed us to find a place, allowed us to experience that life of God directly and intimately. God becomes available to us. God becomes open to us in his poverty and in his humility, to be open to being received by us. And that's the gift and the grace of Christmas, that for every single one of us here, there's room. For every one of us who knows our need of God, God makes himself available to us. God is there as food to nourish us, as life to set us free. He comes to bring that peace. He comes to restore our order, to forgive our sins, to get us from that place of dysfunction and addiction and all kinds of things that prevent us from living in freedom, to a place where simply we can relax and know that in this place, in this encounter with God, I can be myself. I can truly be loved, because that's all he wants to do, to love me once again into life. So today, let's celebrate the gift of peace, the gift of life that our Lord offers to us, to free us, to save us, and to bring us into the goodness of life with God.